pray unto the Lord for his blessing upon the preaching of the word, and then we will consider the scriptures tonight. Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we pray that at the close of this Sabbath day, that thou will be pleased to give us attentiveness to the word of the Lord. We pray that thou wilt apply it with power to the hearts of each one who watches or listens on. We pray, Lord, should any be listening that is out of Christ, has not experienced the new birth or the salvation of the soul, that, Lord, thy word will quicken them, that thy word will convict them, and that thy word will lead them to Jesus Christ for salvation. Bless tonight in all that now will be said. May the Lord have all the preeminence and all of the glory in the ministry of his word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All men agree that death is inevitable. Death has passed upon all men. While death is inevitable for all men, the Bible teaches that there are two ways that you can die. The scriptures, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about dying in your sin. And the Word of God also speaks about dying in Christ. In John chapter 8, verses 21 and 24, the Lord Jesus spoke about dying in your sin. He was addressing the religious leaders. They were religious, but they were not redeemed. They were not saved or forgiven of their sin. And in John 8 and verse 21, the Lord said, I go my way. Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 24, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so the Lord reminded his hearers that it is possible to die in a state of sin. If you do not believe in Christ as the Messiah and the Savior of your soul, you will die in your sin. And that means that where he is, Jesus is, in heaven, the New Jerusalem, there you cannot be. Shut out of the kingdom of God. That's what it is to die in your sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul spoke about those who died in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus, and the word sleep is used of physical death, the death of the body, will God bring with him those which sleep or die in Jesus, in Christ. Look at verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So Paul's saying that at the great resurrection, those that have died in Christ will rise first. And we're picking up on that little phrase, dying in Christ. It means to die with faith in Christ. It means to die, or when we die, the soul departs to Christ. And when the Christ returns, the soul will be reunited with the body in the resurrection of Christ. That's what it means to die in Christ. Now let me ask you this evening, how will you die? Will you die in your sins? Or will you die in Christ? This evening our Bible reading records by inspiration of the Spirit the death of a believer, one who died in Christ. A believer was Stephen. He is often referred to as the first Christian martyr. He was not the first man to die for his faith in Christ, but he was the first in the New Testament church to die for his faith, and therefore he's referred to as the first Christian martyr. He was one of the seven deacons appointed in the church of Jerusalem in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. He also had a great knowledge of Scripture, and he was a great preacher of God's Word. And because of his preaching, you'll read about it at the end of Acts chapter 6, he was brought before the Sanhedrin, he was brought before the Jewish council to give account for himself, and he began to preach there. Chapter 7 records his sermon. And as he came to the conclusion of his sermon, great anger came upon the Jewish leaders. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Such was their anger that they rushed upon him. They dragged him forth from the city and, it has to be said, unlawfully and illegally, they stoned him to death. From verse 55 to verse 60, you have a record of the death of this believer. I think that it's really summed up right at the end of the chapter, at the end of verse 60. He fell asleep. It is one of the clearest presentations in the New Testament of a believer's death, one who died in Christ. And tonight, for the time we have in closing this evening, I want to consider the death of Stephen, this man of God, and what it means for a Christian to die. I want you to notice a number of things about Stephen's death. I want you to see, firstly, that he died with a great calmness. They call it a great peace. But it certainly was a calm spirit in Stephen as he faced death. If you follow the verses from verse 54, we are presented with a scene of anger and hatred. When they heard these things, what did they hear? They simply heard the preaching and application of the Word of God. There's nothing stirs up anger and hatred in the hearts of men as the preaching and application of God's Word. You tell the abortionist exactly what their actions mean and entail, that it is the murder of an innocent life in the mother's womb, and you will see the hatred rising within them, the anger rising within them. When we teach simply the Word of God that within the womb of the mother there is a little soul created in the image of God, and to deliberately harm or end that little one's life is murder in the eyes of the Lord, you will see the rage, you will feel the venom. And so it was with Stephen. Now, he was preaching on a different subject altogether. He's preaching on Christ's rejection, that they had rejected and murdered the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, the Savior. But verse 54, we're pointing out, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. The anger was palpable. You could feel it. You could sense it. Look at verse 57. and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Now notice this, and ran upon him with one accord. So not only are they filled with anger and hatred, this crowd charges upon Stephen. They run up at him. And then in verse 58, it says, they cast him out of the city. They laid hands on him. They physically manhandled him. They dragged him out of the city before they put him to death. I say again, it is a scene of hatred, a scene of anger. It is a scene of terror as Stephen is about to face death. As I thought about it this week, it reminded me of an incident in my own childhood. I remember as a boy of 12, growing up in the midst of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, and watching our television scenes, and you, maybe the older folk, will remember it well, when two off-duty British soldiers in 1988, drove into a Republican funeral, and they were discovered, and the television cameras caught on camera the mob and the crowd beating on the car, breaking into the car, dragging the two soldiers from the car, brutally beating them to death, or brutally beating them before a gunman came and executed or murdered them. And it was a terrifying scene. And just watching it on our television screens, you could feel the anger and the hatred and the danger and the terror. And it was a similar scene. And it was a similar occasion that Stephen faced in the final moments of his life. And yet, as you read of Stephen, in that terrifying, hate-filled moment, when men were about to do their worst, there was no fear expressed. Rather, verse 55, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly into heaven. Rather, verse 60, he kneeled down and cried out unto the Lord. Stephen had a calm and serene spirit. He was no fool. He knew what was coming. He knew he was about to end his earthly life. And yet there is a calmness within him. He could say with the psalmist, he would fear no evil. The Lord was with him. I put the question to you, why did Stephen have such a calm and accepting demeanor as these terrifying events unfolded around him and upon him? The answer is very simple. In verse 55 and 56, we read that he had seen the Lord. Full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, verse 55. He saw the glory of the Lord and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he relates it to those around him. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He was given a vision by the Lord, of the Lord in heaven. And he saw two things. He saw the glory of God. And my friends, the glory of God in heaven, my, Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven is where the glory of God is revealed in all its fullness. Stephen saw a glimpse of it. He not only saw the glory of the Lord, he saw the greatness of Christ. Christ standing at the right hand of God. The Bible tells us when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And his position at the right hand of God speaks of his greatness, that he had conquered death, that he had completed the work of redemption. He had been accepted of the Father, and he was given that honored, privileged position at the Father's right hand because he had completed the work of redemption. He had conquered death on behalf of his people, and he was Lord of all, and the heir to all things at his Father's right hand. The thought and suggestion has been made, I can't say whether it's 100% correct, it's certainly a pleasant thought, but it has been stated that was Jesus standing rather than sitting at the right hand of the Father on this occasion, because he was standing to welcome one of his redeemed ones, a redeemed martyr, home. I'm saying to you this evening that because Stephen had a glimpse of glory and a glimpse of the greatness of Christ at the Father's right hand, he had this calm, serene frame and spirit as he faced the baying, hate-filled mob who were about to put him to death. I have heard stories related of believers dying, and with their final breath, stating how they have seen the glory of heaven or a vision of heaven as they prepare to die. I'm not saying, and I don't know, I don't believe that every believer will have that before they die. But what I do know is this, that every child of God has had that same view at conversion. Oh, not literally. But at conversion, the believer gets a glimpse of the glory of God in the gospel. God is the Creator and Lord of all. He gets a vision and an understanding of the greatness of Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came into this world to do a work for God and for sinners, to redeem sinners unto himself by his death on Calvary's cross. And they see that by receiving Christ, they will be delivered from sin, pardoned and forgiven of their sin, made right with God. And when death comes, they will enter into the presence of God. I want to say to you this evening, if you are in Christ, if you are saved, then you too have recognized, beheld the glory of God in the gospel, you have received the work of Christ. Remember what the Savior said to the disciple, "Blessed are ye, because ye have seen and believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and believed." We may not have seen with the physical eye the redemption and work of the Lord Jesus. We may not have seen with the physical eye the glory of heaven, but we've seen with the eye of faith and we've believed in Christ, and therefore, whatever circumstances engulf us in our final moments in life when we come to die, the believer can die like Stephen, with a great calmness in their heart. Faith in Christ, having beheld the glory of God and the greatness of the Savior. Death holds no fear for us. We can face it like Stephen. But I want you to notice secondly this evening, Stephen not only died with a great calmness, but he died with a great cry. Look at verse 59. It says, "And they stoned Stephen." What a cruel death. "They stoned Stephen, calling upon God." That Stephen was calling upon God, not the crowd. Stephen was calling upon the Lord and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Praying in his final moments, how many a believer on their deathbed, almost unaware of those that are around them, their loved ones, their family. They've been heard by their family whispering words unto the Lord. What a blessed way to die. To die in prayer and communion with our Heavenly Father. Stephen died in prayer. This prayer teaches us that at death the spirit leaves the body. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In verse 60 we read that he fell asleep. That is his body. And if you read on into chapter 8, verse 2, it tells us devout men carried Stephen to his burial. His body was taken and buried by devout men, godly men, Christian men. But his spirit was to be received by the Lord. At death, the spirit leaves the body. Death is not the end of the soul or spirit. I believe those words of Stephen's prayer, they also teach us that at death, the soul or spirit of believers are not only in the care of Christ, but they pass into the presence of Christ. Where was Jesus? He was standing at the right hand of God in heaven. It says he saw heaven open. An interesting study where in the Bible we read of heaven being opened. Heaven opened. He saw the heaven opened, and Jesus was in heaven, and he was asking Jesus to receive his spirit. This prayer of Stephen, it does away with, it slays the old heresy of soul sleep. There are those who have taught down through the ages that at the point of death, the soul as well as the body sleeps in an unconscious state until the resurrection. Stephen's request, his prayer disproves it. His body would be carried to the grave, but his spirit would be received by Jesus into the very presence of the Lord in heaven himself. Didn't Paul say that he had a desire to depart this life in death and to be with Christ, which is far better? Being absent from the body, he would be present with the Lord. Oh, there's no soul sleep taught in the Scriptures. And my friend, you don't need to fear and be concerned if you're a Christian. If you're in Christ, at the point of death, the believer's soul is not only cared for by the Savior, but it's taken and received by the Savior. The worry is that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a wonderful verse. Speaking to a colleague during the week, he was at a funeral during the week, and I was asking him what the preacher, the minister, preached on, and he said it was words at the end of John 17, where the Lord prays for his people. I think it's verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." There's the Savior's prayer. He's praying that those the Father had given to him and that he had redeemed, his prayer and his desire was that they would be with him where he is. And my friend, that's accomplished at death. He receives the believer's spirit. Wasn't it said of the dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise"? Yes, at the point of death, the spirit of the believer is received into heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. That, let me say further, that in relation to this prayer of Stephen's, when he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," it was a petition, scriptural. The Lord cried that, or something similar, to his Father when he was on the cross. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And it's based on the words of the psalmist in Psalm 31. If you just turn back there for a moment, Psalm 31 and the verse 5. "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." That's what Stephen's prayer is based upon. "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." Now, here's the important bit. "Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." The basis for Jesus receiving the spirit of men and women into heaven at the point of death is the basis of redemption. The psalmist could say, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit," because he had been redeemed by the Lord. The reason that Stephen could pray, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit into heaven," was because he had been redeemed by the Lord. "In whom ye have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." My friend, redemption of the soul is by the work of Christ upon the cross, by the shedding of his blood as a sacrifice for sin. And the only way your soul can be redeemed, the word redeemed means to be bought back or to be set free. And there's two ideas or meanings in that word, and it's both by the blood. You're bought back unto God from sin by the blood. You're set free from sin and forgiven from your sin by the blood of Jesus, applied to the soul, availing for the soul when you trust and exercise faith in Him. Are you redeemed? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your soul redeemed unto God? For it's only on the basis of redemption that the Lord Jesus will receive your spirit into heaven when your time on earth concludes and you die. What a great cry this was. "Lord Jesus, into thy hand," or "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen died with a great calmness in the midst of terrifying scene. He died with a great cry, but I want you to notice, thirdly tonight, he died with a great compassion. Look at verse 60. "And he kneeled down." Didn't try to run away. Isn't that amazing? Being full of the Holy Ghost, it's as if he knew this was his time. Lord was taking him home. Saw heaven open. The Lord standing, waiting to receive him. And he kneeled down. He surrendered unto death. And as he did so, let me just say, I trust that each and every one of us as God's children, that's how we will come to face death. But notice that when he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice, loud enough for them to hear. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. In death, he was praying for sinners. In death, he was praying for his persecutors. And he was praying for their salvation. In his death, he died with compassion, not merely for sinners in general, but for those who hated him and were putting him to death. I speak to my own heart as I speak to yours. Do we have that compassion for sinners, for persecutors, for haters of the gospel? To our dying breath, we pray that the Lord will not lay the sin to their charge, but will save them and forgive them. The Holy Ghost identifies one individual who was there. For in verse 58, we are told that those that stoned him, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul watched and kept their garments or their clothes. They got the jackets off, ready to stone Stephen. And Saul was there, and with a loud voice, did he hear the words of Stephen? Chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, he was in agreement. He was baying for his blood. He didn't throw a stone. I don't know whether we call him, let's just pause there. I don't know whether he didn't want to, or he felt that he wasn't as guilty if he didn't throw a stone, or whether he didn't feel he was able to throw the stones, or as some would say, he didn't have the courage to throw the stones, but he watched their clothes. But he was guilty nevertheless, and he was guilty before God because he was consenting unto Stephen's death and he wanted Stephen to be put to death. You don't actually have to commit the deed to be guilty of it before God. And as Saul listened, as he was there, Stephen prayed for the people that were putting him to death, and that included Saul. You read on into chapter 9 and you read one of the greatest conversions in all of Scripture. The blasphemer, the religious Jew, the persecutor of the Church of Christ, Saul of Tarsus, was brought to his knees, cried out unto God of mercy, and he was saved by God's grace. He was forgiven of his sin, and his life was transformed by the gospel. And I believe it was partly an answer to Stephen's prayer. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this evening. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. But you knew those who were saved. There was a family member, maybe a grandparent or a parent, maybe a friend who's prayed for you, and you know they've been praying for you. And they've passed on, and tonight they're in the glory. They're sitting down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. They didn't see you saved in their life, but their words and their prayers are still a testimony to you, and God is speaking to you and ministering to you now. Well, my prayer is that you will be like Saul of Tarsus, and you'll be forgiven for your Christ rejection. You'll find peace with God, and you'll call out as Saul did in the Damascus Road, "What wilt thou of me to do?" And you'll surrender your life to Christ. Let me say a word in closing to God's children. You're saved. You've been praying for loved ones or friends. I say in closing too, you never give up on the lost. Be a witness and a testimony to them and for them until your dying breath. Stephen didn't see Saul saved in his lifetime, but he was saved after his death. You may not see some of your loved ones or your friends saved in your lifetime, but like Stephen, keep praying for them, for it could well be that an answer to your prayers and because of your witness and your testimony before them and for them, that in time to come, God will humble them, convict them, and bring them to repentance and faith. He died with a great compassion for the lost. He died with a great cry upon his lips. He died with a great calmness of spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I ask you in closing tonight the same question I asked at the beginning. Will you die in your sin and be lost and perish in hell? Or will you die in Christ and the Savior receive your spirit? May the Lord bless the preaching of His word tonight to all who have heard.